Cuba's economy is looking up while Russia's fortunes are down. But in Alberta, an early Christmas gift for Premier Jim Prentis.
Today we are making a significant step towards reuniting the Conservative family.
A political shocker. The leader of Alberta's opposition Wild Rose Party crossed the floor to join the Progressive Conservatives.
If you're going to be the official opposition leader, you have to really want to take down the government and really want to take down the premier. I don't want to take down this premier. I want this premier to succeed.
And she brought 8 caucus members along with her.
And joining me now from his constituency office in Calgary, the Premier of Alberta, Jim Prentis. Premier Prentis, the Calgary Herald wrote in an editorial that Daniel Smith and the Gang of Eight's defection is unprincipled, unethical, and the ultimate and hypocritical double talk. What do you make of that?
Well, as you might expect, I have a different way of looking at it, Bob. You know, stripped of everything else, this is about Albertans coming together. It's about small-C conservatives, middle-of-the-road conservatives working together in what are probably the most difficult circumstances we've faced as a province in a generation, if not in several generations. And that, you know, that relates to everything from our environmental credentials outside of Alberta to the challenges that we've had building pipelines in any direction to the state of our finances right now, faced with, you know, essentially a collapse of 20% of Alberta's revenue base. So these are challenging times. And I think when people sit back and think about it and realize that this makes Alberta stronger, puts us in a better position to defend ourselves and to advance Alberta's interests, I think people will be satisfied it's the right thing to do.
But why wouldn't you ask the floor crossers to resign and call by-elections and let the voters decide on whether they should join the Progressive Conservative Party?
Well, these are small-C conservative individuals, Bob. I mean, you know, Alberta's not a deeply ideological place. Most people in this province are middle-of-the-road citizens, voters, middle-of-the-road conservatives are fiscally conservative. They take pride in Alberta's finances and the strong economy. They want good social services and, you know, middle-of-the-road in terms of social values. And that's what my party reflects, the Progressive Conservative Party. That's what's attracted these 9 individuals to our party, and I welcome them on that account.
Did you promise Ms. Smith a cabinet post?
No, there have been no promises. You know, I will have to look at my cabinet. I will reflect on that over the holiday season. But at the end of the day, the cabinet is my prerogative. You know, Danielle Smith is a very talented person. She's extremely able. She's intelligent. She's a very good politician. And I think she's shown incredible courage and determination through this, as she tells her side of the story. But, you know, Mike, the cabinet, you know, I'll make changes to the cabinet in due course, and they will reflect the composition of my caucus and the talents that I have in the room.
But can you trust her to not to stick the knife in you when times get tough?
Oh, I can trust Danielle Smith. I've known her most of my political life. You know, she is a person of courage and determination. And, the individuals that have come with her, I mean, these are all decent, hardworking people that want to make a contribution to public life. And, you know, they realize the challenges that we face as a province, and they want Albertans standing together. And I think that is a good thing.
Okay, well, what about Rob Anderson? He left your party for Wild Rose and now jumped back to your party. Is he kind of a trustworthy guy?
All right. Well, I certainly is. I mean, this is a fellow who works very hard. He's worked very hard at understanding Alberta's finances. He's a fiscal conservative. He has strong points of view on fiscal prudence, which are the very issues that we're facing right now. And so, you know, once again, when you look at each of these individuals, they have joined the Progressive Conservative Party, and I think they have something to contribute. You know, there's not... the way forward for Alberta doesn't consist of conservatives fighting conservatives. I don't think that's in our interest. I don't think it's actually in the province's interest either.
Now, but Wild Rose was only, I think, a few percentage points behind your party when Ms. Smith decided to throw in the towel.
Right.
So basically, we're now back to one-party rule in Alberta with no real opposition to hold your government to account. Is that healthy?
Well, you know, I'm the leader of my party and the premier of the province. I'll do my job. There are, across the aisle in the Legislative Assembly, three other political parties with leaders. They will do their jobs and democracy will be just fine. I mean, you've been around a long time and you know that the caucus that I now have is no different in size than the caucus that Ralph Klein had at one point, or frankly, the caucus that Peter Lougheed had at one point. You know, again, I return, Bob, to the fact that this province is not an ideological province. It is a province where people want good government, they want middle-of-the-road, fiscally conservative, responsible values, and that's what they're getting. And so I'm heartened by the fact that people support my leadership and want to work with me.
Now, Alberta is going to lose, as you say, as much as $7 billion in revenue from falling oil prices.
Right.
Will this put Alberta in deficit? And are you going to have to make it up with revenue increases of some kind?
Well, we're working hard on that right now. You know, as I've been saying for several months, this is not business as usual, and Albertans need to be aware that there will be implications for every single person in this province. You know, essentially, we've lost 20% of Alberta's revenue base. And, you know, we have to consider how we tighten our belts in terms of government expenditures. We're focused on the expenditure side. We're also going to have to look at the revenue side. We can't run a deficit of $6.5 billion. We're going to have to make the changes that are needed to protect Alberta's finances and at the same time protect the social services, the core services that Albertans depend on. This is not an easy job. The cabinet committee I chair that's focused on the budget has been meeting in 5-hour blocks of time last week, this week, next week. And so, you know, we're dealing with it, but there will be implications.
Now, Mr. Prentice, we're hearing a word that James Rajotte, who is a highly respected conservative MP here in Ottawa, the chairman of the Finance Committee, might be going back to Edmonton to work for you.
Well, you'd have to ask James Rajotte, you know, about his own career plans. James is a good friend of mine. We played hockey together. You know, I value him as a person. He's made an incredible contribution nationally. Only James Rajotte can decide if he wants to continue to contribute nationally or contribute in Alberta. And you know, I respect his choice, whatever it is.
But you would welcome him in your government.
Oh, James Rajotte would be welcome in any government. You know, he's an incredibly able person. Having said that, I know he's valued in the national government, makes an incredible contribution there. He's been the chair of the Finance Committee, and you know, I know that is what he's focused on, and that's where his heart lies at the moment. So, but you'll need to speak to him about that.
Now, what about you, Premier? Do you want to be Prime Minister someday?
I'm quite happy doing exactly what I'm doing, and I have my hands full. I've been the Premier of Alberta for the last 95 days. It's been action-packed. I'm looking forward to the vacation, and I'm incredibly challenged by what we're doing in Alberta, and I'm incredibly rewarded, and I just want to focus on making sure that our province gets through this difficult time and that we deal with the issues relating to the environment, pipelines, and our finances, Bob.
Well, Premier, I want to wish you and your family a happy holiday, and thanks again for coming in to speak to us.
Great to be with you. Merry Christmas, happy holidays.
We have two Alberta insiders to talk more about the defections. Tom Flanagan was a former campaign advisor to the Wild Rose Party. He's in Calgary. And Graham Thompson from the Edmonton Journal joins us from all places, of course, Edmonton. So, Mr. Flanagan, you know Danielle Smith probably better than a lot of people. I think you taught her at university. You ran her campaigns. Did you ever think she'd be a turncoat?
No, I think like almost everyone else, I was taken by surprise. Although when I think about it and look over the past, maybe I'm not quite as surprised, because there have been a couple of other episodes in the past where she has unexpectedly broken with people that were supporting her and were close to her. So maybe it's less of a surprise when you look back. But no, I never in a million years envisioned this scenario.
Graham, these unity talks were going on for weeks, even as Danielle Smith was attacking Jim Prentice in the legislature after two Wildrose MLAs jumped to the Tories. Can you sort of take us through what transpired?
Yeah, it seems to be the turning point would have been the by-elections. There's four by-elections in October where the PCs under Jim Prentice, their new leader, managed to win all four. The Wild Rose was hoping to win at least one of them, or at least finish second in all four by-elections. The PCs won them all. The Wild Rose finished third in two of them. That seems to have shaken their confidence. That they began questioning the leadership of Danielle Smith. She began questioning her own leadership. There was a schism in the party between the more socially conservative members and maybe some of the more progressive elements in the party. The schism between the caucus and the party itself. And it seems that began the ball rolling, that they saw Prentice hitting the reset button very effectively for the PCs. So they saw the Wild Rose going down and the PCs heading up. And it seems to me they lost their confidence. We saw two of them cross the floor, Kerry Tall and Ian Donovan. At that point, talks had already begun, apparently, at a different level between PCs and another contingent, one led by Danielle Smith. And they've been talking for months. So to me, there's all kinds of issues here, why people are so upset. It's not just her crossing the floor and bringing nine or eight other members with her. It's the fact these talks have been going on for weeks. So while the opposition, the Wild Rose, was so-called holding the government to account in the fall sitting, they were actually in secret talks of one kind or another to cross the floor. So to me, it's not just a slap in the face to Wild Rose supporters. It's a knife in the back to the idea of democracy in Alberta.
Mr. Flanagan, what kind of a deal do you think Smith got? I mean, she wouldn't have sold out her party or her principles unless she got something in return.
Well, they got a statement of principles agreed upon with the Premier, and when you read it, it looks fine from a conservative point of view. You know, the end result may not be so bad, but I agree with Graham. It was the way that it was done, carried out in secret and then suddenly announced, and you know, the message is, well, goodbye, little people. I'm going to leave you behind now and move on up to the bigger tower. That's what's so damaging. You know, now, afterwards, arguments are coming out that make some sense of Danielle's problems within the party. And Preston Manning has endorsed it. Federal government people have endorsed it. You know, if the ground had been laid for it and had been properly explained, I think they could have avoided all the outrage that they're incurring.
Well, I'm presuming you're still a Wild Rose supporter. Do you approve of this arrangement?
I'd be open to discussing it if the arguments could be presented. I think, as I wrote in the Globe the other day, there is a big loss when you give up an effective opposition party and merge it all into one big party. You're giving up an awful lot. You know, maybe there are good enough reasons to justify that because Alberta is, I think, being faced with a fiscal emergency. Maybe you can make an argument that the parties have to come together for the good of the province. But, you know, that argument was never presented in any coherent way. And now bits of it are dribbling out. But of course, what people are going to remember are the first headlines. So, you know, Danielle's going to have to wear this now for quite a while, this reputation of somebody who broke her word. It's hard to live that down. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's going to stick for years, I think.
So, Graham, so what happens to the Wild Rose Party?
Yeah, that's a good question right now. There's five of them left in caucus. And the party is still a party. Like, this is not a merger, don't forget. This is nine people crossing the floor, two across earlier. But the party itself is still an entity, and they still have money. But the question now becomes, will more of them cross the floor? We expect at least one more from the Wild Rose will cross over to the government. That will put them in the position of no longer being the official opposition. The Liberals have five seats, right? And so they have more seats than the Wild Rose in January. Liberals become the official opposition. And so the question now is, will the Wild Rose eventually sort of dissolve itself into the government, or will they try and hang on at some level? And that's the question that they're struggling with right now, and it's a question we don't really know the answer to. And we'll see what actually happens in the new year regarding a cabinet shuffle. You asked Tom what was happening in terms of any rewards given to Danielle Smith. We're hearing that she'll be put into cabinet likely in January. We'll see what actually happens. And then we may even see an early election next spring with Prentice going relatively early, a year earlier than we anticipated, to try and get ahead of more bad news when it comes to the price of oil.
So, Mr. Flanagan, is there any leader who could take over Wild Rose, or realistically, is the party dead?
It would come down to the leader. You know, a modern political party is basically a fan club for a celebrity, and there has to be the right leader. And that's what happened with Wild Rose, that Danielle Smith was able to achieve a kind of celebrity status and to lead the party, you know, dramatically upward in the polls. Now, if by some miracle they can find a leader, yeah, maybe there is life in the future. But who that is, I don't know. There was never anybody. The only other person who obviously had leadership ability in the caucus was Rob Anderson, and he left with Danielle to go to the PC. So, it's not apparent to me who that person would be. But on the other hand, think back, the Canadian Alliance appeared to be on its last legs, and Stephen Harper suddenly came up from the side and managed to turn it around. So you can't rule it out, but right now I don't know who that person would be.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. And international politics next, and Canada's role in helping Cuba restore their relationship with the United States. Cuba's ambassador to Canada joins me next, plus Russia's relations. As the ruble nosedives after new economic sanctions, Canada's former ambassador to Russia on Putin's next move. That's still to come on Question Period. An historic announcement by the President of the United States this week. After more than 50 years, diplomatic relations with Cuba are warming up.
Today, the United States of America is changing its relationship with the people of Cuba.
The new deal will open up travel and lift financial restrictions between the two countries, signaling a potential economic boom for Cuba. And Canada played a pivotal role in helping the U.S. and Cuba restore their relationship. For more on this, I'm joined by Cuba's ambassador to Canada, Julio Carmendia Pina. Ambassador, can I ask you this about President Castro, who scored a diplomatic triumph in ending decades of open hostility with war?